Today's April 6th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $68,057.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How are you doing, Rick?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah.
Kind of crappy weather, but again.
It was so crazy.
Lord, it's just going to be crap weather.
It was beautiful, the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then even last weekend, Saturday was gorgeous, and then Sunday was kind of eh. And then this weekend, too, it's supposed to be kind of cold and windy, and we got rain last night. But at least we didn't get an earthquake like New Jersey.
Or Taiwan.
Yeah. Poor Taiwan. That was pretty crazy. So we were kind of chatting this morning before things got going, and not that I am much of a chartist at all, but we're looking at Bitcoin and we're looking at it in the range that it's been stuck in, which has been between, basically what we hit our high of roughly 73, 876 right in there. Down to the low of 60,737, and then we've been kind of bouncing within that kind of wedge pattern, which typically means that Bitcoin is coiling right now, right?
Right.
It could be a break to the downside, but more than likely it will be a break to the upside. So we were looking at some of this stuff. One of the first things that we could actually look at, which has been really awesome with those Farside charts, is seeing the flows and how they've flip back to being positive again.
No, that's been very nice. I mean, that negative week, it was pretty brutal on the price.
Yeah. Yeah. And on April 1st, it started off kind of like that, where it was negative. But then since then, we've seen it trending upwards again. April 4th, it was 213,000, or is that 213,000 on that chart? I think it is. Or 213 million, and then 203 million. Yeah. On the 5th, so we're seeing a nice amount of inflows again, positive inflows rather than the negative inflows that we had seen there for a little while. And there's a few things that kind of coincide with that, right? One of the big ones was BlackRock. They added some new participants to the for the IBIT ETF, and they're actually adding some banks into this thing. So according
not
to the
little ones either.
No, they're big banks. Some of them I've never heard of, but that doesn't mean anything. But it looks like they have ABN Amero Clearing USA, Citadel Securities, Citigroup Global, Goldman Sachs, Jane Street Capital, JP Morgan, we already knew about before. I don't even know how to say this. Macquarie Capital, UBS Securities, and Virtue Americas are now all authorized participants for the IBIT. Bitcoin ETF. Yeah. So, and one of the crazy things, I think it was last week, Larry Fink was on one of the finance news networks talking about the Bitcoin ETF. And initially, I think they really only thought, and I know we've mentioned this before, but I think they really only thought that they were only going to get about $20 billion worth of inflows in, the first year. And I think they've hit $100 billion already.
And we're not even 3 months in?
Yeah. it's just, people can say what they want. Maybe the first couple of days was kind of like, oh yeah, sell the news event. Bitcoin's not going anywhere. And then since then, it's just been ridiculous. The hunger for the ETFs has just been huge from investors.
Yeah. Well, just think about that. Right at the beginning of the ETF, when the news was going crazy, it touched, 48, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. and then it crashed 40. We're never seeing those prices again, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think we'll ever see, honestly, right now, and I think you and I may slightly differ on this, I think 58,000 is going to be the new floor. I don't see us going below that, but I mean, I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. Maybe there'll be some type of a sell-off event once the halving takes place and people that may not really understand what the halving is, they may be like, oh, well, nothing happened. Like, my Bitcoin didn't double, you know?
Yeah.
So, perhaps. And now, before we get too far into the weeds, what's our theoretical purchase at?
Okay, theoretical purchase that we made October 27th, I believe.
Yeah.
$3,000 at the time would net you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And with today's price, at $3,000 would be $6,023. So it's down a little bit from last week, but, you know, still more than doubled your money.
Yeah, yeah. Last time we recorded, which was actually on the first, it was $6,118. So a little bit down, but like I said, we're kind of stuck in that range. And, you know, there's been a lot of volatility. Most of the outflows that we're seeing still are coming from Grayscale. One of the big things that's kind of happened this week is back when the Silk Road existed, the United States government was able to seize a lot of Bitcoin from the Silk Road, about 2,000 Bitcoin. And this week they've moved a lot of that Bitcoin onto Coinbase. Some people are assuming then that they're going to sell, which would make sense to me. Why would you move it onto an exchange unless you plan on getting rid of it? So, I mean, that could be quite a bit of a selling pressure that's going to continue over this next week.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, we've got a lot of positive news, but if they're going to put it on the exchanges and sell it, maybe next week is the time to buy some more.
Yeah, that really could be a good buying opportunity, because right now that's all we're seeing is a lot of consolidation. Like, we're not seeing major drops or anything like that. When you look at that kind of those lines that I drew on this chart, these squiggly lines here, we're basically stuck within this range. And typically when Bitcoin is in those ranges, there's a good chance that it's going to break to the upside. And that, you know, right now I'm kind of looking at that as being right around the 16th of April, whenever that break's going to happen. And I think it'll be to the upside, but it would give during that time for us to kind of go back up, touch around the $70,000 level, come back down within the $66,000 level, go back up to like 69,000, come back down to like 67,000, and kind of continue within that until it finally breaks. One of the other pieces of positive news that we did have this week is that we had talked about this probably about a month ago. Genesis was going to sell their Grayscale Bitcoin Trust shares. And it looks like that has been completed now. So that major amount of selling pressure is now done.
So, I mean, Grayscale has basically just been bleeding out the entire time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, when you...
Nice for them to stop it for a little bit. I don't know if they can do what they want, but...
They're totally free to do what they want. But yeah, when you look at that chart, like, they are nothing but red every single day, every day, you know, and there's some theories about that maybe BlackRock had started buying Bitcoin through the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust a long time ago. You know, because at that time they're like, well, we know BlackRock has known they wanted to get into Bitcoin since about 2017 from some of the documents that they've been able to find. So maybe they were buying way back then and just stockpiling it, and now they're transferring it out of the Grayscale into their own trust. I mean, obviously, there's other factors in there. There's Genesis. There's been some other stuff that has been selling off from there. But it's kind of interesting to see how those are kind of matching up between the inflows and outflows with that. And I don't know. There's been some rumors going around that BlackRock has actually been reaching out to only their high net worth clients to get into the Bitcoin Trust, or not the Bitcoin Trust, but the IBIT spot ETF.
Yeah, and you're talking pretty big money.
Yeah, they've got to be looking at what they're saying is that it's got to be $34 million or higher is what they consider high net worth, and that's who they've been reaching out to. They're not reaching out to anybody below that right now.
Yeah.
So... kind of interesting to see. You were talking about, what do you think will happen on Monday?
I just think this Monday, whatever happens, I mean, usually Mondays for the ETFs, they kind of break to the upside, or they kind of start the week off showing selling. Like, what was it, a couple months ago, or maybe it was even a month ago, where you're looking at the price and it was somewhere in the 40s, and the next thing you know, it's basically at 60.
Yeah.
The next day. I mean, there was some insane moves. So whatever's happening, we're going to find out on Monday. Which direction is it going to go? I don't know, but
typically Monday mornings, like in the early hours, it's kind of what your trend's going to be for the day. Typically. Now, we've seen that too, where it'll go good, really good in the morning, and in the afternoon, it'll kind of tank off. But typically, some of those early morning movement kind of gives you an idea, like, are we going to have a positive day or a negative day within Bitcoin? Like, if we have a sell-off going into, the early morning hours, and that's completely possible. We may, kind of not do a whole lot this weekend, and then come Monday, we may shoot up to about 70,000, and then we could come back down to that 66 area somewhere in there, like midweek or something.
Or it could be next Monday, like your wedge pattern's kind of indicating.
Yeah, that's true too. I still would see that it's possible to stay within that wedge and still make those kinds of moves, right? Because, waking up on Monday morning and seeing Bitcoin pump to, 69, 70,000, that's not uncommon or not impossible. I mean, the last time we were at that kind of level, we were looking at that on the 31st. So, and that was when we got our weekly close, right? It's anybody's guess what's going to happen with that. And then we still have the Bitcoin halving. We're still looking at around 14 days before that's going to take place.
Yep. I think we should do another theoretical purchase on the halving date that morning, whatever the price is.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye out for the block height and just kind of see what the price is at that time. Because the block height that the halving is going to take place is at 840,000. And right now we're at 837,989. So we're getting there. We still have some time to go. Current market cap of Bitcoin is 1.34 trillion. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you, and I was kind of thinking about this the other day, normally, the fourth estate and the fifth estate within the United States was always like the media and then some of the fringe groups and stuff like that. Do you think that Bitcoin could actually function as a fifth estate for the U.S. government?
I think it can function as the fifth estate for the entire world, or the fourth estate.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be fourth or fifth. I'm not quite sure on that, because you would still have to say media stays in there somewhere, but just an unbiased transparency, I think would be kind of interesting to see with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's everyone's, all the voluntary association of people mining Bitcoin in all the nodes, and it's run by protocol, so there's no human fallibility to it. It's a real revolution. Most people just kind of overlook it, but it really is.
Yeah, it's insane. It could really hold that as kind of just the unbiased watcher and kind of give visibility to all of us to see what's going on. Like if it really becomes, a treasury asset, reserve asset for the world. And I can't even imagine what the price will do at that point if that actually takes place. And I'm kind of curious to see some of the quarterly earnings reports that come out from companies and see how many companies are actually purchasing Bitcoin during this whole time. If there's any. I mean, there may not be any new ones, but I think Michael Saylor has kind of showed how that you can play it in a playbook for a corporate treasury reserve asset and actually really do well with it.
Yeah. Well, it's not even his treasury reserve asset. It's basically his asset. That's all he's doing anymore.
Yeah. No, that's it. He is a Bitcoin company now.
No.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. It's nuts to see. And I think you kind of mentioned it before, like to know at this point, to kind of see the future, like the probability that Bitcoin's going to go to zero is very, very null. More likely, Bitcoin's going to go to a million at some point. It's just you're sitting on that asset and it's a waiting game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only scenario I see Bitcoin going to zero is if humanity is basically wiped off the planet.
Yeah.
And at that point, we have much worse problems.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't even know necessarily if gold's the right thing to have at that point.
Nope.
It'll be a better precious metal.
I don't know. Maybe we'll leave the Bitcoin for the cockroaches to take over.
Let them evolve and handle it at that point. But yeah, right. It's exciting. It's scary. It's exciting. It makes you aggravated because it makes you impatient. I mean, I guess my big thing, I guess, with this time, and I don't want to go too far into this, but with this having and with this bull cycle in general, this is the first time, like, I mean, Bitcoin's always done really well within the bull cycles, but this is going to be the bull cycle where I think Bitcoin, like, the price just goes ridiculous. Like, typically, you could always kind of buy a little bit and actually make some substantial purchases with Bitcoin to get kind of closer to a whole coin or whatever, but I think that a lot of that's going to be outpaced here pretty soon.
I agree. Well, just a side note, I saw Plan B on his thought-to-flow model. He's actually predicting this cycle is going to hit over 500 grand.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, he said some other things before that kind of didn't turn out, but it's a pretty interesting model. And I think if we did hit 500,000 this cycle, I would not be surprised at all.
No, I wouldn't either. It's to where, it's like, if you ever had a fragment or maybe made a small purchase or anything like that of Bitcoin on, one of the examples I come back to is, you know, on my phone, I use the Brave wallet and I collect Brave tokens with it. And I think, probably about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that, I transferred those Brave tokens into Bitcoin and it wasn't much. It was like $20, but I mean, that $20 is now worth $100. So, like, you could have those little fragments of Bitcoin scattered around on different wallets that could become substantial amounts of money. I don't know.
Well, I mean, go ahead. About what $20 was back, you know, in 2014 or 2013, but it was still a dollar a coin.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. But was there anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it for me.
So do continue to help support us. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, you get your cold storage checklist when you do sign up for that, and you can get that at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/signup. And then we also still have our affiliate links on the website under the deals tab, where you can get yourself a Ledger or an Elipal, and you're buying directly from the manufacturer, but we do get a little bit of a kickback, which helps support us. So we appreciate you guys for listening.
Yep. Thank you.